been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final Red Eye review of the season. Ravens cutting it short this year on us. One January football game, but it felt more like an August preseason game. Thank you for listening to us. We are The Call Podcast. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thanks for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Joining me, as always, Josh, what's going on, man?
Now, hold on, man. It was not a great way to end the season, man, but it's just bittersweet. You know, it's season's already over. Sucks. Wasn't where we wanted to be. We were close to a couple games, but we were just a few games short, and we're in the off season yet again, man.
That's right. Let's talk about the biggest loss of this past weekend. Ronda Rousey, done in 48 seconds. Can you believe that?
No, not at all. It was definitely something I didn't expect at all.
I figured Ronda was coming in. She was going to dominate. I figured it would be reverse, but... Man, Ronda Rousey, not a boxer. What coach is telling her to stand up and block those punches with her face? That was a terrible game plan.
Terrible. And basically, what I've discussed amongst fans is, if you look at Ronda Rousey's body of work, she's a wrestler. She's a grappler. She had a lot of arm bars in 14, 15 seconds. She had that streak. She's not a true boxer, and it showed there. She's in the ring with a pure boxer like Nunez, like that, man, it's just not going to work out in her favor. And Holm got her. Nunez got her. I think it's time for her to go to WWE. That's just my opinion.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that she's got to, you know, figure out what's best for her. I mean, getting punched in the face is not fun. So I wouldn't, you know, think less of her for hanging it up and moving on. But we'll see what happens. But anyway, so the Ravens have a New Year's Day game, Steve Smith Sr.'s final game of his long career. And I got to tell you, this was one of the most pathetic efforts I have ever seen. I don't know if these guys were out partying for New Year's Eve. I fell asleep during halftime. It was a boring game. It was pathetic. And when you're telling fans, "Oh no, this game means something because we love Steve so much, we're gonna get up for him," and then you put out an effort like that, that's embarrassing.
It was, man. It was definitely embarrassing indeed, man. And I really just the whole. I don't know if you did. You watch the whole game?
I fell asleep. I woke up when Breshad Perriman got his got a touchdown towards the end. That was it.
No way.
I swear.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was an almost touchdown.
Yes, almost. Sorry. Well, I woke up her cheering, and then I went back to sleep.
I can't believe you fell asleep during a Ravens game, bro.
That's how bad this game was.
Yeah. Hey, I was there with you. We were at the bar. Where we usually watch it at, and we were. It was funny. We had the Purps game on at the same time, so we were going back and forth. It was just one of those crazy Sundays, man. I enjoyed it. I made the most of Ken watching it. Not as animated as I usually am, but I was rooting him hard. But just it was just embarrassing coming up short like that. I mean, Harbaugh even said that we wanted to put our best game forward, but the Ravens looked like they just wanted to go on vacation mode. It was over. I mean, the Bengals started a lot of second stringers, man. I mean, obviously, AJ Green being hurt, but he didn't play Eifert out. Jeremy Hill was gone for the year. I mean, there was a lot of veterans for their team going to injury, but we started most of our starters, and even on defense, they didn't have a couple of their starters, big names, and yeah, they took it to us, man. You know, this guy Burkhead, he was running a run shot off of the defense left and right, man, and it was just bad to see. bit of football. The Ravens had a few bright spots. Commitment to the running game still got to happen. And speaking of that, but there was a couple of great drives where they stuck to the run and they ran it down the throat. And we saw Perryman speed on display. If he gets his hands under control and we get the ball in his hands, he could be a playmaker going in 2017 here, man. But it was just a few plays that we could have had there. But it was just a bad effort all around, man, in the year.
Yeah, it was. And, telling the fans, oh, well, you know, we're going to put out everything for Steve and this, that, whatever. I feel bad for Steve Smith that this is going to be his last game. I mean, I don't think he'll go down in history and this game will be replayed or anything like that. He's had such a great career. But for him to leave that way, you know, kind of with his tail tucked between his legs after a loss, I mean, I figured they would come out at least for him, but even that, I guess that Steeler loss on Christmas really did this team in. They just, after that game, I guess they were all emotionally drained, just like the fans were.
I mean, I think that's what it was. I mean, it came down to winning the Pittsburgh game to have a chance to play a playing game in Cincinnati, get in the playoffs, and what it came down to was they let everything out on the field, and that was it. You know, everything's exhausted. It was like, okay. And let's just travel Cincinnati. Let's get out of here with, you know, a good game plan, but that didn't even happen. It just was one of those efforts that you just want to question the team. It's like, really? What was that? Wasn't too impressed with it. Saw some bright spots, saw some negatives, saw some positives all around, but in the end of the day, man, it was a bad loss to take. You don't want that in the offseason. Everybody was stating how they wanted a winning effort going into the offseason, but we just didn't get it done. We just didn't want to play it.
So that's obvious. They didn't want to be there. I didn't want to watch it. It was really bad. I feel bad for Steve Smith. I put out a tweet out there apologizing to Steve Smith that was the effort he got. But I don't know if you saw it, if you could hear it at the bar, but at the end of the game, they come up and they say, Steve, is this your last game? He got a little choked up and said,
he did. Yep, we watched it.
This is it. This is it. And, he's obviously, this is his last game. I'm interested to see how he retires, if he does sign a one-day contract with the Panthers or if he stays with Baltimore. That's more of a symbolic thing, but I'm very sad to see him leave. He's still at 37 years old. He still has plenty of fire and can still, run circles around a lot of these young guys that are out there. So huge. Actually, this is interesting. We're saying huge impact on this team, future Hall of Famer. You may have not heard this, but during the game they said, yeah, he's a great receiver, but Hall of Fame, I don't know if he's really a Hall of Fame guy.
Everybody, I actually didn't hear that. Everybody tweeted about that. I ignored it because he will be a Hall of Famer. I mean, his numbers are better than Michael Irvin's, for goodness sake. So, I mean, let's just put it to rest. He's a Hall of Famer in 5 years when he's eligible. Let's see if he gets in first ballot. I don't know if he's first ballot, but I think he'll get in. Maybe the second van. If he gets first ballot, that's the whole thing that bothers me. Is he a first ballot? But these commentators, whoever called the Ravens-Bengals game, don't have any clue. It's their opinion against everybody else's, but we already know the facts. He is a surefire Hall of Famer. He's built the body of work. And it was kind of funny. We watched – he did get choked up, and we watched the whole press conference and after the fact. And I don't know if you saw this, but he was handed a cell phone on the field. Do you know who was on that line?
I saw this. It was Ray Lewis, of all people.
Yep, it was, of course. Which is great. So I would love to know. And it was a short conversation. I'm sure they talked on the back end after the fact, but it was great to see. Great to, that Ray, of course, being the first one to call him right then and there, saying, call it a career. But he did it here in Baltimore for 17 strong years, and I really am very proud of the body work. I'm glad that Steve Smith chose Baltimore to end his career here. I've always said he's tough as nails, play like a Raven, the trash talk in the mouth, the play, the fire. It was like Bolden-like. When Bolden came here, it was the same thing. It was, dude, that guy's a Raven. And we knew it. And coming in here, in his first year, we made it to the divisional round. I was there for both of them. It sucks that we didn't get far. This year, it could have been an easy road as well. We didn't get there. I missed playoffs last year. So 1 out of 3 for Smith. I'm just happy he got some of the playoff taste in Baltimore. But just too little too late for him. But what a body of work. What a great career. I mean, he even said it, man. If you got to watch the press conference, I'm not sure if he did, but he said, you know, could I play one more season or so? Yeah. But he wants to do it for his kids. He wants to be there. And his kids at home needs to attend to. And that's what kind of race calling was. It's he wanted to be there for his kids. And these guys are fathers. And their time has come and called it quits.
All right, so due to the way that this season ended, the Ravens ended with 8-8. They're going to be picking at number 16. Now, in John Harbaugh's press conference today, he said the biggest offseason job is to help Joe Flacco and have him play at a top-tier Tom Brady-like level. So that means I assume that we're going to be getting another guy to put on the offensive line or maybe a wide receiver. Is that the right way to go in your mind? I mean, just looking forward to the draft. Obviously, the Ravens have some stuff that they need to take care of. But do you think that is really the top priority surrounding guys with Joe Flacco? Should it be somebody on defense? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, top priority right now is, I think, defense and secondary. We're going to need a pass rush. We're going to need a secondary for sure. And I think receiver. I think with Steve Smith exits, we need a new receiver here because I don't think what we have is going to get it done. I think those are our three main hits. You know, receiver, pass rusher on defense and secondary, and I think we bolster our offensive line a little bit. But we're set at quarterback as we know. We're set at running back as we know it. We're set at linebackers. You know, I didn't hear Doomerville say anything, so I'm assuming he's coming back. I didn't hear any whispers about him going or retiring. But, again, there's a lot of restructuring, a lot of deals that could happen to where we might lose some players. We've already thrown out Brandon Williams, Zachary Orr. You know, are these guys going to be back in purple and black, or are they not? Remains to be seen. See what free agents are out there. But to cover that, Brandon, going into the offseason, three main hitters are secondary, pass rush, and wide receiver.
I mean, losing Steve Smith, that is a huge hit to the wide receiver position. And when you don't have a lot of skill, still very much a rookie in Breshad Perriman, who knows what'll happen there. But number 16, I mean, it's kind of middle of the pack. It's really not nothing special. It's not like that number six pick like last year. So as the combine happens and we kind of see things kind of level out, we'll talk more about that later on in the year. Now, Harbaugh did have a press conference today. He answered a few questions, and I got to say, I am shocked. He announced that all three coordinators, offense, defense, and special teams, all three coordinators are coming back for the next year. Josh, is that the right move? Flat out, is that the right move?
After my knee-jerk reaction was no, but after the aftermath of me looking into it, I almost want to agree. And me and you might butt heads in this one. Here's why. The philosophy, I think, needs to change, and I think Harbaugh needs to get control. Let's get that straight, and I can certainly say that there needs to be change there. But the revolving door, let's say Marty was let go. And it's funny how reports were saying that Harbaugh's supposedly going to fire him and then now it's not. But if the revolving door were to happen, Joe Flacco's had, what, five coordinators in the last five seasons? Like, literally, we've changed coordinator twice during the Super Bowl year. We changed coordinator, two we've had. This year we had two. I mean, let's say it would almost sound like this, man. It'll almost be like the Cleveland Browns changing head coaches every year. Cleveland's already said that they're sticking with Hugh Jackson. I've always said, yeah, if something doesn't work, give it time. Trust me, we gave him one full year. He came in, but then we gave him one full season. He didn't get it done. It just looked atrocious. We had the fewest rushing attempts in team history. We amassed that this year by surpassing that mark last year. And that was the lack of a commitment to the run, which ultimately led him to the door. Marty showed it, but to Harbaugh's take, and listening to the press conference, I want to take away from this. Harbaugh's point was the game situation changed. I've always said to you, you have to have the game come to you, and we have to cater to that in the game plan. Well, the game plan here basically was the Ravens weren't allowed a two-minute offensive situation. You go back and listen to Harbaugh, he mentions that a lot, where, of course, the Ravens are behind. I mean, when the Ravens are down 20-0 against the Browns on the road, you're not going to run the football. You're just not. You're going to pass a lot more than you're going to run. You're on Christmas night, got to play catch up to the Steelers because, the game we had in hand, so that game won't count because we had the lead there. But we stuck to the run in that game. But then you look at some of the other games that we were in. Dallas, we were behind. The Raiders game, we were back and forth, and we were behind, and that one had to come back. So there's a lot of comeback wins and comebacks. And Harbaugh said we were second in the league against, or I wouldn't say against, but we were second in the league with two-minute offense and efficiency. So, but the lack of commitment because we need to finish off games. So there was a lot of situations where we should have ran it, we passed, and ended up being a bad decision. And it all comes down to decisions. But I think ultimately when I look at it, whether it is Morningwood, I love his aggressiveness in the West Coast. That stays. And let's put it to rest right now. Kubiak's not coming here. He's taking a leave of absence and he's stepping down. He didn't say he's retiring. He said he's quote-unquote stepping down from coaching because of his health issues. He might take a year or two off. Who knows? Maybe if it doesn't work out with Morningwood in 2017 and 2018, who knows? Maybe Kubiak comes back, takes a lesser role instead of the head coach. Maybe he does come back in Baltimore as a second stint. Who knows? Who knows what the future brings? But right now, we're stuck here with what we have. He's a philosophy. I just wish we would. The whole thing is about finishing here, and I just think that we need to get back to what we are doing. What happens is we let the Steelers win that game based solely on defense. This wasn't an offensive issue that led our demise. Obviously, we would have had to win in Cincinnati to get into the playoffs and then win those games. But ultimately, when Joe Flacco leads the team down the field for a game, basically the game-winning score or the go-ahead drive at that point because of the aftermath of the game, and the defense led up 21 points to Steelers in the fourth quarter where we basically led up 3 points from the opening drive until that point, they got to finish. And there's a lot of prevent defense that happens, a lot of holes in that defense, and I just think that there has to be a change in philosophy. Whether there's first, second, and third chances, granted, I don't know. But it shows commitment. It shows Harbaugh is not willing to knee-jerk reaction. Well, if something didn't work here, let's change it. Or he's not listening to what the most of the public saying. He's sticking to their guns. And he said him and Bisciotti talk daily. And I'm sure they've had that conversation. And Bisciotti wasn't really happy about it. He probably told Harbs, this is what needs to happen. And don't put it past you because, look, we let go Cam Cameron in midseason. We let go Trestman in midseason. So the Ravens have been very adamant on, hey, if it's not going to work, they're going to take action now in midseason. We don't wait till the offseason. So you have to trust. I mean, we always say in Ozzy we trust, and we have to carry that through. In Hards we trust, and Marty we trust. It carries down through all 53 men on the roster and coaching staff. We just have to trust these guys. They're paid to do what they do. We might sit here an armchair quarterback and Monday morning quarterback, and me and you pick them apart saying, well, I would have done it differently. We can look at hindsight 2020, but I've always said, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And Mike Wallace has been vocal in saying that. You know, it's a pretty play if it don't work. Like the interception play that led to the demise almost in against the Philly. You know, if Flacco connects on that play, Steve Smith basically almost probably walks in the end zone. But again, it was a bad read and an interception that led the Eagles to come back in the game. So the execution's got to be there, but the coordinators can only do so much. They can call the game plans, they can call the plays, but the players don't execute. It makes the coaches look bad. You know, it's like me and you, man. We could have all-star bosses, but then if they give us instruction and me and you don't carry out the game plan, yeah, it makes our bosses look bad, but then no one talks about us. They always look at the head coach. It's always like with this, man, Flacco. You know, the team plays bad offense. Well, it's Flacco's fault. He played bad. Well, especially the team itself doesn't do bad and we don't make it to playoffs. It's, well, Harbaugh should be fired. Ozzie should be fired. We always want to point directly to who's in charge instead of looking at, well, maybe it was execution. You know, maybe if Jimmy Smith didn't get hurt and stayed healthy, maybe we would have had a shot at it. Or maybe if we made this play, or maybe if Mosley holds onto the football against the Redskins and gets into the end zone, we win that game. Maybe if the snap didn't get botched in Pittsburgh. So there's things there. There's our accountability. So you can't always point to it's the head coach's fault. It's the coordinator's fault. I think we just need to give him a little bit more faith and let's see what happens in 2017. Now, if let's say we go to London and we get waxed by the Jaguars, then maybe we can all start talking, man, maybe it wasn't worth it. Maybe we should have made a change. But let's see. I always say let's see approach. I mean, I don't want to need your reaction just yet, but I wasn't happy with the end result. No fan is, man. But I really want to hear your take on it and as far as seasonal. Do you agree? I know you don't agree with them keeping the coordinators, but what would you do? Do you want to see a different approach, or what's your take on the situation?
What you said makes a lot of sense, but here's the thing. Harbaugh came out and you said the same thing, is that there's got to be a change of attitude. There's got to be, you know, there's got to be a way to finish games, blah, 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 blah. But how is there going to be a change of attitude or a difference in game plans if you're using the exact same coordinators? Did these guys, Dean Pease, who's been here forever, did he show anybody why the defense broke down in that minute and 9 seconds that Big Ben needed to get down the field to make that last touchdown? Where was the breakdown there? Because it didn't improve with the Cincinnati game. And kind of like what you said at the end, if you're saying, well, the players aren't the ones that are getting the game plans done, does that mean a guy like Joe Flacco doesn't deserve that Tom Brady-like contract that he's got if he can't get things done in tight situations? He's done it in the past. Ever since the Super Bowl, though, you haven't seen that urgency at the end of games from Joe. So my thing is, well, let me first off by saying I never want to see anybody lose a job. That is one of the worst things anyone can go through, them and their families. But that's the way the NFL is kind of structured, is that's what happens when you don't win. But I think that I can understand maybe not letting Marty go, since he didn't have a full season. But Dean Pease went from having one of the top defenses at the beginning of this year to dropping. And again, Big Ben needed a minute and 9 seconds to defeat that defense. Yes, if Jimmy Smith was there, would it be different? But Jimmy Smith is one guy. And even though this is a team sport, it shouldn't break down for everybody else. It's either there's not enough talent on the field or there's not enough talent on the sidelines to get this done. And let me tell you, if it's this, what's happening on the field, then we have a huge problem, because we have a lot of money. The Ravens have a lot of money tangled up in Joe Flacco. And if he's not the guy they thought he was, then they've invested a lot of money in a guy who maybe can't get you the Super Bowl again. I think Joe can. Don't get me wrong. I like Joe a lot. He is a great quarterback. I enjoy what he does, but something needs to change in the next year or so. Maybe this is John Harbaugh's last stand. Maybe he's saying, look, these are my guys. They're sticking with me. This is my team. This is my coaching staff till the day I die. And that may be, you know, John writing his own death certificate, and he may be gone after next season. But for me, if things need to change and attitudes need to change, they're not going to change with the same people in power, with the same people on the field. Something needs to be different if you want things to change.
Man, great, great walk that. I mean, I can see your philosophy, your opinion, and approach too. But you're right. You know, John Harbaugh might put all his faith in these guys, and then the body of work just might implode. And then you're right. He might just sign his pink slip out of here, because you're like, oh. Yeah, he's going to put faith in him, and he went definitely does. I don't know what the conversation was with Bisciotti and that went down to where, and maybe we'll hear it at his press conference, which I'm very excited to hear from him and what his thoughts are, because he's the one that writes the checks, he's the one that makes decisions and pulls the strings, and he owns the team. And ultimately, if he's not happy with something, a major shakeup will happen. So we'll definitely cover that as Bisciotti's press conference is out there as it's completed, and we'll have, you know, full breakdown. We'll definitely get that taken care of. So don't worry about that. But all of us press conferences is there's a good 40 minutes, man. He spoke about, you know, again, you know, those things that we've already touched. There has to be change. He's already addressed it, and we didn't run it enough. He's already been very vocal about that. He stated that in his own press conference, and he stated, but again, he went on to say it was situations, because the team put themselves in those situations, and I like the commitment. So I may have not liked, you know, the philosophy at times, but we were there. There was games right there that we could have won. But in sticking with the philosophy again, West Coast offense, Marty runs it. Flacco thrives in it. We haven't changed it since 2014 when Kubiak was here. So the groundwork's there. So it's not like it's a whole different change that someone's coming in here and just rewriting the script and saying, hey, Joe, you got to relearn this and we're going to do it this way. And it doesn't suit him. You know, Joe's been in shotgun a lot this year. But there's a positive to take from the Bengals game. And it's an underlying issue, and it goes hand in hand with throwing the ball. Joe Flacco should not be throwing the ball as many times as he did. He threw it second most to only Drew Brees this year in the NFL. You look at the quarterbacks who are successful, you know, the Tom Brady's, they're not throwing it a lot. The Patriots actually run the ball first. They have LeGarrette Blount up there, man, and they're running the ball first to set the pass. And how many times can I say it? Running sets up the play action, which throws defenses that you're posing off balance. But did Joe Flacco did something great? We've already stated last week against the Steelers that he amassed over 4,000 yards in his first time in his career with the receiving core he has. But he passed Vinny Testaverde for most franchise yards in a single season. The original mark was 4,177, and he passed that. Congrats to Joe Flacco for doing that. So, not saying that, Josh, you might say, hey, Josh, what do you mean? We're going to go to a pass-heavy attack next year? No, but it's funny to say that, but then look at the body of work. Okay, Joe Flacco threw for 4,000 yards. I'm just saying with the personnel-wise, not play-calling-wise, but if we can get the running game under control and the balance, we were so imbalanced, and that's why we lost a lot of games, 8 of them to be exact, and we only won 8 of them. We split right down the middle because Harbaugh did address this in the Super Bowl year in 2012. We won a lot of close games. Remember the field goal that we barely won at the end, and the game winner against the Patriots. We trounced a few opponents. I mean, we took it to the Giants who were then the defending champs. There was a lot of close games that year, but then there was a lot of games that we won because of that. And Harbaugh even pointed that out. He goes, but we are on the losing end on this year. You know, we didn't finish. We didn't finish the Redskins. We didn't finish the Steelers when we were up. We didn't finish. We had to beg and claw and scratch and basically hope for miracles in a way to get back in some of these games. I mean, when we're down 20-0 against the Browns, I remember me and you were watching the game, and we're just like, you gotta be kidding me. We're going to start the season off like this. Like, and then me and you are watching Jacksonville together, and we're like, oh, here we go again. Cardiac cats, and here we go. And they barely pulled that off. And then they did it again in week 4. They did it again in week 5. I was there at the Giants in week 6 where we had one more stop, and that was a back-and-forth game. We were there against the Jets where we got off to a good start. We wasn't that a special teams touchdown, or I can't remember the way that started. Wasn't that a special teams or a defensive touchdown? I think it was special teams, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, that started, and we was right there, you know, right in front of us, and they got the touchdown. We're upset nothing, but the Ravens, instead of – this is what I want to see change. And talking about New Year's resolutions, man. I want to see this to happen to the Ravens. When the Ravens get up, let's stay up. Instead of getting up 7-0, 10-0, 13-0, what happens is the other team just comes roaring right back. We don't have that killer instinct where if we're up big, that happened in the Super Bowl year 2000 where if we got a 10, 12, 13-point lead, the game was over. We won the game because you weren't coming back because the defense understood and they – stopped the run and made the other team one-dimensional, and you weren't passing, and we made them one-dimensional, and that's the way it was. It was almost like that in 2012. Even though the offensive philosophy started to take shape, we scored enough points, but we finished most games there. And that has to change. I think the culture, and when the Ravens understand that, that's when we're going to see healing as far as winning games is concerned. But to get back to winning ways is going to take a lot of work, and I already heard Joe Flacco has made that commitment. He wants to work together with the receiving all season. And my buddy called him out right there on my post. And I called him out too. I was like, I call BS. That has to happen since day one. You know, you're in year 9 and you're starting to do that. That should be every offseason. Not, well, we played bad this year. Well, let's do it. We need to see it. So I don't know about that one. That should have happened a while ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that pretty much does it for this show. The Ravens have plenty to fix, and there's going to be the State of the Ravens next week, I believe, so by Steve Bisciotti. So we might be covering that. Depending on what he talks about, we might just do a Facebook Live video. But, Josh, for this episode, have we covered everything?
Brandon, for the final Red Eye review of 2016/2017 in there, I'm looking right at the Raven and says right back to me, quote the Raven, nevermore. What a season.
What a season. Guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I throughout the off season, you can. All you got to do is follow each of us on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at GiantGQ52.
All right, go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there whenever a new show comes out, because they're going to get sporadic after this. Who knows what will come up this off season. It could be, somebody decides to retire, somebody is let go, as big things happen, combine, draft, all that kind of stuff, we'll come back and do shows. But
if I decide to try out for the team, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll – I don't know.
All kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. So, but we'll be back sporadically. But the best way to find out when a new show gets released is to like us over on Facebook, facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. We had a couple people send in audio clips from this past year. I got to say thank you to those guys for participating in the show. We absolutely love hearing from the listeners, and we're all friends here, and we love cheering on the Ravens, and it's going to be... It's going to be a long off season, but you guys hang out with us, hang in with us, and we'll continue to do what we're doing throughout the off season until Ravens football is back. But we'll do a show about the Super Bowl, maybe WrestleMania. Who knows? There's plenty of stuff down the line. But if you guys...
We're almost at the end of the month.
There you go. There you go. So if you guys could please help us out, though, Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, all those holidays just ended. All we ask from you guys is to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and any other website you use. I used Uber for the first time this past Friday.
How'd that go?
That is way too easy.
Is it
way too easy. That is, I can definitely see why people don't get cars anymore. My God, that was easy. That was.
I wonder if it's, I know some people that made some money out of it. I mean, I know it's a good way to make some extra income, but it's like, if it's that easy, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. I was down at the beach and I wanted to go to the UFC fight. There was one bar in Ocean City showing it. I was at 101st. They were showing it on 8th, and I knew I wanted to have a couple drinks, so I got an Uber. Went there, took an Uber back. It was so easy. Just the coolest thing. But maybe you can talk an Uber driver into playing the call for you on one of your long drives. So
there you go.
Or maybe that's what we do. You and I become Uber drivers and exclusively play our show.
You will be forced to listen to this. Nothing else. Exactly.
I like it.
You're
still
a fan. It's tough. You're still listening to the call. Or get out of the car.
Right. All right, guys, that's it for the show this season. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for every single one of you that has clicked download, who has listened to the show, who has watched our YouTube clips. We've had an amazing time this season. Yeah, I wish we could be doing a couple more shows for the next couple weeks, but this is it for now. Thank you, every single one of you. You have no idea what it means to see how many downloads we get, how many interactions we get on Facebook and Twitter. I love how passionate the Ravens Nation is, and Ravens Nation worldwide. We're going to see that firsthand next week or next year. I can't wait, guys. So thank you all so much. Josh, one last time this season, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thanks for an awesome season, man. I know it didn't work out the way we evolved. Ravens wanted it to. We wanted it that bad, but just didn't get it done enough. But it's been a great year, man. It's a lot of great memories. We watched quite a few games together. We've had a lot of great fan interactions, meeting a lot of new people on social media, meeting at the games, having a lot of great conversations, and another one in the books for us, man. And we're just full steam ahead going to next year in 2017. The off season begins, and you always hear me. You know, you always hear what I always say. The off season is my favorite, if not more than the in season, because this is where the body works. This is where championships are built. The Ravens do what they do best in April in the draft. We'll see what comes there. We'll break it all down. Just to give you a little bit of tasty off season. We've already broken down what Harbaugh had to say. Shot is coming up soon. Free agency breaks here in March, draft and schedule in April. And then we're pretty much coasting into the summer months until July, where training camp starts. Just give you a little bit of a timeline on the Ravens schedule. But you'll hear from us. We'll definitely chime in on what we think about the NFL playoffs that start this weekend, who we think our favorites are, I'm going to shout out to there. I'm going to Brandon chime in real quick. But I'm kind of looking at top seeds right now. I mean, the Falcons are dangerous in the NFC. The Patriots, obviously I'm not rooting for the Steelers. The Patriots have the easiest path. I mean, AFC is just atrocious, man. The Chiefs have a strong team, but I don't think you just got to go with the best. And I hate to say it, but I'm siding with the Patriots being an appearance in another Super Bowl yet again, unless the Chiefs or somebody else proves us wrong. I love Andy Reid's team, but we'll see what happens. The Chiefs are my second pick there. And at the NFC, the Falcons or the Cowboys can take the cake there. I like to see what the rookies can provide. They've been explosive. They've been awesome to watch this year, apart from the Ravens. If you haven't taken notice what Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott are doing over there, it's been incredible, and we got to see them firsthand when the Ravens played against them. Very tough team, and we've seen what they're all about this year. But I like to see a Patriots and Cowboys Super Bowl, top two seeds make it. I think that'll be an electric atmosphere, an electric Super Bowl. You know, the old guy, you know, Tom Brady's 39 doing his thing. MVP season, 28 touchdowns, 2 picks in 12 games. Everybody's talking about that. But then here's the thing. Guys, don't sleep on Aaron Rodgers. This is something I wanted to really touch on real quick before we parted ways. Aaron Rodgers was laughed at when he said he'd run a table. The Packers, and this is where you look at the Ravens, like, why can't they go in this magical run? And it was there all year. The Packers were 4-6. 4-6. Ravens are 3-4. And we are right there in week 16 in the thick of things in the playoff discussion. But the Packers ran the table. They won all their games, one out. They finished 10-6, won the NFC North, and are getting a home playoff game. I mean, just when you go to work and play one game at a time, look, the Packers did it. We did it in 2000 when we won 7 straight after going 5-4. I mean, it can happen. Teams get hot, and don't sleep on the Packers. The Packers are the hottest team in the NFL right now. So I almost want to say it could be a Packers run here. Don't sleep on them. Guys, enjoy the NFL playoffs. Going to be Ravenless, but let's root against the Steelers and have some fun at it. They got the Dolphins this weekend. Let's see what makes of them. Guys, Baltimore Ravens, all season is here. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. Yeah.